happening at the public broadcaster. I'm joined on the line now by the Executive Director of Media Monitoring Africa, Mr. William Byrd. He wrote a thought-provoking piece in the Daily Maverick today in which he calls upon the President to save the embattled SABC from a crisis that it is faced with. Mr. Byrd, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for having me on.
Now, I mean, your piece is very strong. It starts off by saying it seems we are in the end game for the SABC. Reports that three SABC board members have resigned signal not only the imminent collapse of the board, but also a deepening of a deliberately engineered crisis just a few months before the elections. It is a crisis not just for the media sector, but for our democracy. Now, that is, of course, a very weighty thing to say. And the reason you're saying that is, of course, because out of the 14 million television watchers, 9 of those watch only the SABC. Why do you think that this crisis is deliberately engineered, and who's engineering the crisis, Mr. Byrd?
So it's deliberately engineered because all of the problems that we've been that are being faced with now could have been avoided. So the fact that the board is just about in court. So to be clear, if the three have resigned, and we heard from the presidency earlier that they haven't actually received their letters of resignation, the moment that happens, they serve their 3 months' notice, and at the end of that 3 months' notice, it means the board is in court. It means they can't take any decisions that can be legally binding. So it's effectively you have an organisation that is unable to make decisions, which would then force Parliament to announce an interim board.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had Parliament acted in March when they knew they needed to appoint new members, we wouldn't, if three had chosen to resign, we wouldn't be in this mess. But Parliament failed to act repeatedly, despite us warning them repeatedly about this and begging them to please go ahead and appoint people. Instead, they delayed so long that the people that had put their names forward eventually withdrew as the crisis deepened.
Mm-hmm.
The second issue that was deliberate is that the SABC for over a year has been saying that their finances are absolutely fundamentally dire and they have to get a guarantee. Now, the astonishing thing about this that says it has to be deliberate is that SAA routinely gets a bailout. You know, all sorts of other state-owned enterprises routinely get bailouts of billions of rands. You know, they barely need to go and register and say, please, can we have some more, before they get another massive whopping bailout. Yet, despite this being early alerted, the government has still to give a guarantee, and that's different from a bailout. The SABC didn't go and say, we want a bailout, we want a guarantee that would allow them to continue to operate. So because of that, you then put a board under enormous pressure, and you effectively take them to the brink. You then have a minister who goes and meets with her. In her first meeting with them, she issues allegedly a directive to them to say, withdraw the Section 189. They say no. She then storms out and says, fine, we're not going to speak to you anymore. So your major your shareholder refuses to engage with the board any longer. Now, that is a deliberate engineered crisis that no one can deny. I mean, the fact that these people are appearing to be surprised by this is as a massive crisis, I think, is simply appalling.
Absolutely.
Clear, this is the end game of the SABC. If this current board collapses, I have no doubt that SABC's chances of being an actual public broadcaster go from where they are now to -100%.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, there was a very interesting court case which you guys were involved in. You won a historic case that meant for the first time we had an independent board, and that happened on the 17th of October. The Pretoria High Court, in a groundbreaking judgment, delivered the same day as President Zuma eventually appointed the new board, limited powers of the communication minister, the shareholder, in appointing and firing members of the board. Judge Mochana said that the clause of the amended memorandum of incorporation and the SABC charter in respect to the appointment, discipline and suspension of three executive directors, the group chief executive director, the group operations officer and the chief financial officer, is inconsistent with the Broadcasting Act and thus invalid. Now, the minister, Ms. Ndabeni, who was recently promoted, she is also responsible for post and telecommunications. She can't be unaware of this, Mr. Bird. Why is she skating on thin ice?
You know, it's an extraordinary thing that's so fresh into that. And again, you know, she's been around, actually. And I think the only thing we can put it down to is poor advice that is given with a deliberate intent of collapsing the SABC board. I think what the board have done is that they've exercised their independence in a way that has been fairly dramatic and fairly strident.
Mm.
And I think that really has upset the apple cart of power across the board. You know, we've seen Parliament being angry as all bananas with this current board.
Yeah.
You know, amusingly, they come and demand, you know, explanations for expenditure that didn't happen under their watch.
Yes.
And, you know, of course, the Portfolio Committee under the previous SABC board just happily let them go about their way on their own business. So it's quite rich of them to be wanting to do this now. But that, be that as it may, the board certainly have angered the Portfolio Committee and angered the Minister and angered the ANC. We saw them give a pretty smart smackdown to the ANC earlier this year when they tried to interfere directly and said, we're not going to allow this. And then, of course, with the Section 189, they've angered all of the unions at the SABC. So they've kind of pretty much now isolated. And so it's not that surprising then in that context that there would be this effort. The problem with that is that it's a short-sighted reaction to the fact that if this board collapses, you will not get people of any high caliber coming back onto this board if you have an interim board that's appointed before just before the elections. And all of the good top senior people that are there will have no further protection, and you can bet that most of those people, if not all of them, will resign almost immediately. And then you will have not only an incorrect board, you'll have senior management that isn't there, and you'll have no high caliber people wanting to put themselves at that high risk to be on that board.
Now, to make matters worse, as you said, for the SABC, MultiChoice's new news channel will be launching next year with ETV's additional new offering of OpenView and the possible licensing of a further free-to-air license. The advertising pie will be even smaller and less incentives for people to support a crisis-ridden SABC. In addition, the SABC's lack of resources will, like Eskom, be faced with an impossible decision to keep afloat and not maintain or invest in new technology, and like Eskom, will have their equivalent of load shedding. The end result will be an SABC that won't be able to take their audiences to the digital SABC, and it will be left further behind. In short, the collapse of the SABC board will ensure that the current Section 189 process will look like a Sunday school picnic in comparison to what is likely to happen. Now, of course, we know there were two attempts at capturing the SABC, one by the Guptas, where they basically came and said, we can run your newsroom for you, and the other, of course, by MultiChoice. We know, for example, that the tribunal, the Competitions Tribunal, recently ruled that the joining of MultiChoice and the SABC on a particular matter had to be declared a merger, otherwise it would be in contravention of competition laws. We know, of course, Claudie selling off the family jewels for next to nothing. Is this playing into the hands of people like MultiChoice that have a monopoly over the airwaves and that have recently actually taken people from the SABC? In fact, a former newsreader from the SABC is part of the group that won the license. Joe Clawley, who is presiding over whether or not there was political interference at the SABC, that commission, he's been appointed to that very company as the head of editorial. Is this a strategy by MultiChoice to just wipe out the SABC as a competition?
No, look, I think the SABC, ironically, is the one institution that, if it fails, it's bad for everyone in our country. It's bad for MultiChoice because they know that the majority of their audiences actually that are buying, especially in their lower boxes, are buying it so that they can have access to the various SABC services and with decent quality pictures. So if the SABC fails, which if the board collapses, it will almost certainly, and certainly all quality will deteriorate, that ultimately isn't going to be good for any broadcaster in South Africa. What we know from global experience is that countries that have a strong, functioning, effective public broadcaster have strong, functioning, effective public other media as well.
Yes.
Independent media, commercial, community media. So this is not just bad news for the SABC and the people working there. This is a catastrophe for our media sector because they're the biggest broadcaster. You know, all of the people that are there, and because of the role that they're meant to fulfill, it means that you're going to go back to the scenario where once again you're having to have commercial entities trying to pretend to be public service media. It's kind of what was starting to happen under Mr. Motsoeneng's rule, where
absolutely
they had to sort of fill in that gap.
Yes.
So, you know, it may ultimately, I guess, on an advertising level benefit their multi-choice, but fundamentally the SABC failing is bad for our democracy, it's bad for our media sector, it's bad for everyone. The only people who stand to benefit are those who think that they're going to use it for some kind of ridiculous political ends. The thing they have to think about is this, is that if you turn it into the laughing stock, you can put whatever banana bread you want on that
people
channel.
Just won't believe you.
Believe a word. It's what happened under apartheid.
Precisely.
No one
precisely.
SABC.
Absolutely.
No one believed the SABC under apartheid because they knew they were lying. And the same thing will happen again, but it'll be beyond repair and beyond rescue. So
now, one of the things that the minister and the ANC seems to be concerned about is retrenchments at the SABC, right? We know that about 900 and odd permanent members are up for retrenchment and over just 1,200 or so contract workers. But among those people that are retrenched, or we don't know if that is going to be included, but we know that people were illegally promoted and illegally rewarded, and that cost alone is 40 million rand. And the SABC has simply refused to come onto the show to explain who is in that list. And as I said, there are rumors that Ms. Nomsa Piliso, for example, is on the list of the people that Cloudy had fast-tracked in a way that is illegal. And one of the unions, in fact, two of the unions said, why don't you start there? Why don't you start by firing those people that were illegally promoted, where we have a salary bill that is now inflated to the tune of 40 million? Why don't you attach the properties of people like Mr. Cloudy Motsoeneng and others who literally stole money from the SABC? Why don't you undo the deal with MultiChoice before you talk retrenchments? Why is the African National Congress not fighting for that rational approach? Because that will hold people accountable. That will make sure that those who did wrong are, in fact, gotten rid of. And then if you need to look at retrenchments, then you can genuinely look at retrenchments as you are allowed to do when your business is in trouble.
I don't know. I mean, the simple reality is you have to just go back to the question of whose interests are served by having a public broadcaster in a state of profound crisis. That's, you know, and unfortunately, often it comes down to short-sighted political interests. And, you know, I don't know why they aren't. I think it's astonishing to me that Parliament hasn't been incredibly vocal in saying we need the guarantee. Because if you get that, then you can hold them to account. Say, well, that's okay. Now you've got this breathing room.
Yes.
Let's look at this Section 189 process.
Exactly.
Again, bear in mind, South Africa has some of the most advanced, stringent labor laws anywhere in the world.
You Absolutely.
Know? To remove anyone, let alone whether they've been employed legitimately. Just look at Tom Moyane, you know?
Exactly.
Even the president can get rid of someone with any level of ease. So to think that the SABC is going to be able to just march in and in 5 days go, okay, bye-bye to 900 people and these 100. I mean, it's pie in the sky. It's nonsense.
Absolutely.
You know,
and the other thing I want to raise with you, William, is that we mustn't forget that Stella Ndabeni was actually the deputy minister under Faith Mutambi. Lot of what happened under Faith Mutambi, she was right there. She never complained. She never said anything. She eventually fell out with Faith Mutambi, but it had much more to do with SABC internal politics, ANC internal politics, than the governance of the public broadcaster. Ms. Stella Ndabeni herself has some questions to answer for what happened during that time, because she was the deputy minister. Why is it that she is taking such a hard line and saying, we're suspending all discussions with the board until I meet with everybody? I mean, why does she have to meet with CETA? Why does she have to meet with any of these other individuals when the case is clear cut? The SIU is busy with the investigations. In fact, warrants of arrest are being issued. They gave a report in Parliament. What is Ms. Stella Ndabeni Abrahamse' agenda here?
I don't know. You know, I think that's, you know, we don't know. I think it's very unfortunate that she's chosen not to engage further. You know, it's to cut the relationships and to in that kind of manner. I think whoever advised her of that. That approach is profoundly and deeply mistaken.
This was of course also at the heart of Ms. Faith Mutambi's legal advice. She constantly thought, for example, the Companies Act would trump the Broadcasting Act, and she tried to use that as a way to justify what she was doing is legal. And of course, we had that groundbreaking judgment that simply declared that null and void. And like I said, any communications minister ought to be familiar with that piece of legislation, that ruling that has been handed down. What I want to understand is, I spoke to the presidency, and the presidency said that they want a report from the minister before they can respond. When I spoke with Matata Tsedu last night, for example, he said, I must speak with the presidency. And so you're saying now it's up to Cyril Ramaphosa. Cyril Ramaphosa has shown that he sticks to the letter of the law, that court processes must take its place, and that we won't have, vexatious litigation. Why do you think Mr. Ramaphosa will allow the minister 10 more days? Because apparently her consultation process will only be over on the 14th, on the eve of an election where institutions like the SABC must be seen and trusted by all South Africans to not, favour any party, but to bring us credible election coverage.
Look, I don't know. You know, I think that it needs to be brought to the president's attention with a great deal of urgency. If you look at the statements from the ANC committee on the SABC, you know, they've gone after the board. The other statements from the ANC have been very negative about things there. The Parliament has been very negative from the ANC and DA and the EFF and others. So, you know, if anything the president's heard, he's probably been hearing about, you know, the disaster that is the board, who aren't listening and aren't accountable in any way, shape, or form. And I guess he's thinking, well, let's give this new minister a chance. Let's hear what she has to say. But, of course, the reality is that something bigger is going on, and he needs to be made aware of it and brought into the picture. So it's a good, you know, obviously you want him to be informed by, you know, the people that he's got in cabinet. But I think that in this instance, they're going to need to hear some other voices about this,
Mr. Bird, would you seek an audience with the president to familiarize him from your perspective on these matters? Would that help?
We've been trying desperately to do so, and we hope that there's a chance that we can. He's the only one at this stage who can do it. And the irony is that there's a relatively easy answer to this. Give him a guarantee, suspend that 189 process, make sure that the board can function until the elections. By all means, do all of the other things. Hold them to account. Call them around there. Make sure that all the people know where the boundaries of their powers and the other powers lie.
Yeah.
All good things for democracy. What you can't do is let the board collapse when you know that the consequences of that will be the death of the SABC as a public broadcaster.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. That is the Executive Director at Media Monitoring Africa, Mr. William Bird.